Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with, "Usually, however, other people are involved," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Stephanie L. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Penny L. C., and Eileen M. The share ID for Tuesday, August 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,572. That's 17572. This morning's Wednesday, August 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 17,581. 17581. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathy B. from Oklahoma, and I am very grateful to be here. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. And Stephanie L., good morning. If you could read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants that do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with, usually, however, other people are involved. And good morning, Robin P. from Costa Rica. If you could get us started, please.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Kathleen, for your service. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. Excuse me. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." Well, the rest of that paragraph, the story, shows that they worked it all out. But it's that willingness to go to any length to recover. And when I did my 9-step, that's the spirit that I had as well. And there were some people where I had taken food, you know, in college and not replaced it. Most of the time I did, but sometimes I didn't. I couldn't find those people, but I took the same amount of money and I replaced, you know, blessed, you know, increase. And I, for today's times, and then I donated that money to a cause like a food bank. And I felt like it was really important to make sure that financially I had made all my amends. That was really important. I also believe that the emotional ones and the, you know, some of my amends are living amends. You know, my mother loves us so much, and here we are in Costa Rica. And so I make sure that we call her every day. And the same with her best friend. And that we stay really in touch with people. And that's part of my living amends for people who love us. And, you know, I had some, you know, I grew up in a lot of child abuse. And I really got to work my 9-step with my parents. And I have great relationships with them today. And I had no relationships with them when I came into the program. So it's just a miracle of recovery that, you know, I've said it before, but I don't have to cross the street for anybody today. And that You know, I have so much love in my life, and no matter where we are, and I'm so eternally grateful for this program and the steps. They really work when we work them every time. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much for everyone who's doing service on this line. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on step 9, page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday, I'll take your name. Who would like to share?
Danielle O.
Danielle O.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Now I can take some more. Okay, we'll start with those three then. Danielle O, Donna B, and Elaine B. So go ahead, please, Danielle O.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. You never know with this on and off mute button. Hi, everyone. My name is Danielle, compulsive overeater. So going to any lengths, you know, I've heard that term for a long time. And you know, I've been in and out of this program, and I've noticed that every time I come back, I find a new level of willingness, and things are getting clearer and clearer every day that I'm you know, putting the food down and putting it in its right place, which is not in me. And, you know, I look back at all the things that have happened over this past year, and I was in the food, I got abstinent, I went back in, and I'm back, and it's only been a week. And praise God, that it's like one day, thank you, God, you know, that's good for me. But it really has to be an honest effort every single day for me to get through and know that I'm doing God's will. Because of myself, I can't do it very good. And I know that as we're looking at this, I have had to get out of my comfort zone in so many ways, including getting back to the program. It's too easy for me to just sit back and be in self-pity or whatever emotion it is and stay in the food. And, you know, it's all about being flexible and being willing. And those are the things that I've gained out of this most recent time. And I meet with my sponsor first at a good time in the morning before this meeting. And, you know, it's nice and it's consistent and it's simple and it's easy. And I'm not fighting anymore. And, and because I don't fight, it's just life is getting a little bit easier every day. And because of that, I get to have these gifts in my life. You know, God gifted me with a beautiful daughter. She's now 9 years old. And I'm telling you, it's like every time I look, it's like there are gifts everywhere to be, you know, they're everywhere. Abstinence is a gift, a daily gift from God, and I'm just so grateful that I get to share that on these meetings. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle O. And Donna B., good morning. You're up, followed by Elaine B.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A. In the previous paragraph, I was reminded that my decision to work the steps was really to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. And that isn't what I came in for. I came in to lose weight. I came in to be free of bulimia. And so this sort of reminds me that actually there is a contradiction between what I thought I was coming in for and what in fact I made a commitment to pursue. And I think the same is true in this paragraph, in that I thought I wanted to be free of the shame and the resentment and the remorse, and that I was being asked to go to any lengths to just make things better, you know, make things better for myself so I could be more comfortable in my own skin and comfortable in the world. But this paragraph is reminding me that I cannot be hasty and foolish. I can't be a martyr. I can't make my amends about me and my comfort, but that I really have to keep utmost in my mind that commitment in step 9, not to harm or hurt the person that I'm making amends to or anybody else. I cannot risk dragging other people down in order to make myself feel better. I love the phrase, here I am. And in this case, they're warning us not to say here I am to the judge or to anybody involved in the process of making amends. But I am reminded over and over again that I can pause when agitated and ask God for the next right thought or action. So I am saying to my higher power, here I am, here I am, here I am. So there's a lot of discernment in every part of working the steps, and discernment in living my life on a daily basis. And I have guidance from a sponsor and from my fellows and from my higher power when I pause to seek it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Colorado. And before we take Elaine, just a reminder, we're on page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved, sharing on step 9, and I'll be taking some more names after Elaine. So good morning, Elaine. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Great share so far. This is an important paragraph. This is such an important step. And, you know, when they were writing this book, they had a community. But when they were first starting out, you know, it just is so helpful to not go this alone. You know, of course, other people have been harmed and have been involved by some of our behaviors that led us to eat compulsively. And, you know, we knew that solution didn't work, but our first time through the 9th step, or sometimes even our 5th or 6th time through, it is wise to get direction from outside sources. I really appreciate the value of having a sponsor or a guide, and also a community that we can reach out to, special editions that we can listen to, how people have handled more delicate situations in the areas of things like sexual abuse or something like this, where it's really going to impact an ex-wife and their family, and there's legal issues involved. It is just so great. I mean, I had some that I just wanted to run out and do, but my sponsor had me review all of my amends that I was going to make. Actually, several sponsors have been through the steps more than once, because there's always more. There's always another layer of ground that we can gain for God and in our relationships, but mostly in our serenity and our peace and our need to go to outside solutions for our inside problem, which is getting right in harmony with God, trying our best to live with absolute honesty, purity, and selfishness and love. And that's not easy to do. So, but this is a huge step forward, is learning how we can show up in a difficult relationship. I had one amends that I wanted to make. I wanted to make it. And the more and more, it just was with me, and it never felt right. And I remember the time that I was sharing it with yet another person, and they revealed to me what my true motive was. I wanted to get back to a relationship. I wanted to open a door that never should be opened again. I wanted to go back and just sort of check in and see if I did this, you know, what would be the end result? And I realized my motive was selfish, and I would go back and I would wreak havoc into somebody's life that didn't need to go there. It was long, water under the dam, and no further need for amends was needed. But I needed to do deeper work in order to close the door on that. So I'm so grateful for this community that we have, for this little chip of a book, and for the clear-cut instructions that we have to gain more freedom. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine. B in Massachusetts. Okay, we're on page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. And I'm ready for some names. If you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday, we'd love to hear you share on this topic.
Darian K.
Darian K. Now's the time to be a part of.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Veronica.
Got you, Veronica. Anyone else want to jump in? You can share for only a minute if you want. Okay. We're quiet this morning. All right, so while everybody else gets the courage to share, we're going to start with Darian K. and Veronica B. So go ahead, please, Darian K. And where are you from, Darian?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. This is Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. That's the western part of the state. good shares on this. And, you know, the longer I'm in program, I mean, I didn't need to learn this, but I'm learning it over and over again that this is a selfish disease. And the things that I thought were motive-free are really not. There always seems to be a motive of some kind, sort of lurking. It's not as obvious sometimes, but it's there most of the time. And so I feel like this paragraph really is emphasizing the fact that we need to be very careful of this self-centered, selfish, kind of ingrained character defect, I suppose, in most addicts, because it could hurt others, you know. So we have to be very, very careful, tread lightly, and definitely, you know, run this by others that have gone before us, our sponsors, or, you know, fellow people that are wise and maybe have gone through similar situations. And, you know, recently, well, probably about a year ago, I made an amends to my ex-husband. And, you know, in my heart, I had this amends to make many years ago. You know, and I've been program a long time, so it could have come up. I could have made it, but it wasn't the right time. And I really, really felt that. And I made sure that I went with that instinctual feeling. I feel like sometimes, especially when we're out of the food, we have to rely on that as well as talking to others. And it just didn't feel right. And finally, it felt right to, you know, sit down and talk with him, you know, about my honesty in our relationship or lack of and, you know, and what I sort of held back from telling him and such. And, you know, we sat down and we talked, and it was really, really good. It was really good. It was the right time. You know, you can really feel that sometimes when you've chosen the right time to do something, you get that feeling like, oh, you know, this is just so right now. And, you know, and he took it well, and also, you know, he was in a program of recovery at the time, and really brought it back to himself. And, you know, he was like, yeah, I don't blame you. You know, I would have done the same thing, and I totally get it. And it was very validating. And it's not always going to happen that way. I made many amends that are not, were maybe not well received, or just you know, didn't give me that same satisfaction. But it was the right timing. And so, you know, we just have to be cognizant of that and know that we're bringing our higher power into this process. You know, we're not doing this alone. We have to make sure that we're on the right track, and that we have good motives and that they're not self-centered, you know. So that's all I've got. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. And Veronica B., you're up, and we'll be taking some more names after Veronica B. We're on page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. Go ahead, please, Veronica. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. For this paragraph, I focused on the word martyr, and I looked it up, and it says the term is sometimes used to describe someone who seems always to be suffering in one way or another, and that was me. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I blamed everyone for my problems. I always had a feeling of being a victim. I always felt like things were being done to me. Why is the world treating me like this? I didn't think it was fair that God gave me a parent that was very sick the last year, 7 years of his life. I just didn't think life was very fair. So I turned to food always to just make me feel better. I used the food for an effect because I just could not deal with these feelings of I always felt the feeling that I was suffering. And that was the attitude that I came into, my thinking that I came into Overeaters Anonymous. And so when I came up to step 9, it's, you know, up until now I've done an inventory. I have to constantly pocket my pride and take you know, ask God for to help me take the next right action. And this whole point of the step work is to change my behavior. My behavior today is focused on not hurting others. So the people that I have hurt up until now, I have to set that right. And then my goal is not to continue any harm whatsoever. The goal is no new wreckage. That is the goal today. I'm living on a spiritual basis today, and the goal is like no new wreckage. And I can't not do that on my own. I need God's help. I need God's help. And I can't have this mentality of a martyr mentality that I'm a victim. I am not a victim anymore today. I see the character defects that block me from God, and I ask God to help me a day at a time, an hour at a time sometimes, to clear this from me so that I can do his work and I can show up in a godly manner today. And I'm just so grateful for the steps. I'm grateful for my sponsor. I'm grateful for this gift that I've been given from God. It is a gift from God, but I have to continue to do the work every single day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. Okay, we're on page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. Who else would like to share on this paragraph that hasn't shared on Monday or Tuesday?
This is Drew D. in California.
Who in California?
This is Drew.
Drew. And what was your initial, Drew?
Anne B.
Okay, you both came in again. I think I heard Anne and
yes.
Drew, but I didn't, and I heard a D, but I don't know if that was both of your initials or
B. That would be and B.
Okay, and Drew?
Drew D.
Drew D. Okay, D and a B. Okay, so I have Drew D and Ann B. Who else would like to share?
This is Sue Ann T.
Sue Ann T.
Okay. I'm going to take these three names. Page 79, the second paragraph. We do want you to share this morning. And so thank you, Drew D, Ann B, and Suzanne T. Go ahead, Drew D in California. Good morning. And Drew, star one to unmute.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Thank you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks a million for your service. Love these meetings. I've been coming for a while, working on the courage to get up and speak and to claim my seat. Definitely need to be here. I'll focus on the reading and the amends that I've done. I've been in program abstinent about 7 months now, and the amends process was very, very powerful, but I appreciated and connected with a number of the shares, particularly the issues I've got, even without the food, when it comes to dealing with other people, and how easily, without my numbing drug, a lot of the fears and the doubts and my assumptions about what other people think or how I'm interpreting how they think of me all keeps coming back. And so I just wanted to claim my seat and say I appreciate and I'm so grateful for this program that gives me the tools to deal with people, the people that love me, the people that I can develop resentments toward in the process. By coming to a community and a fellowship that knows what I'm talking about, it means more than I can say. If there's any newcomers here, I'm so grateful. This is a great place to be, and I just wanted to focus on that part of the reading, that others' involvement was something I tried to prevent in my disease historically. It was a secret disease for me. It was hidden. It was what I did so I didn't have to face other people and communicate responsibly my thoughts and my feelings. Today, because of this program, I can feel my feelings. I can be hurt. I can hurt others and make amends. And that feels like a process, being back in my skin and honoring other people's skin and boundaries in ways that I never thought possible. So just wanted to claim my seat and say thanks very, very much. I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Drew D. in California. Ann B., you're up, followed by Suzanne T. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., currently in New Hampshire, but normally in New York. And I am a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And, you know, when I read this paragraph, I haven't been in this exact situation where I owed somebody money, but I didn't have it to pay. But what I'm seeing in this paragraph is self-advocacy. And what I've found in the step four process, the way I was taught to do it, on page 67, it says, where were we selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid? And under selfish, I was taught to list everything I wanted. You know, I wanted not to pay. I wanted not to get in trouble. I wanted this. I wanted all the things that I wanted. And I learned how to read those things out to another human being. And what I discovered after doing that repeatedly is that I learned how to speak. I learned how to say what I want, which is something that I had never learned before. And the fact of the matter is that if you say what you want and you say it calmly, you're more likely to get it than if you just sulk and snap and isolate. And so what this guy does is he writes a letter to his ex and he says what he wants. He wants more time. He advocates for himself. And rather than just running away, and I do feel that this is a very important part of both step five and step nine, is learning how to talk. I remember when my son was 4 years old and he was in nursery school, I would go in because they would have parents come in, rotate in to be assistants, and the teacher would keep saying, use your words when the children were fighting. And I realized in program that I did not know how to use my words. I did not know how to speak my own emotions clearly. I did not know how to advocate for myself in a constructive way. And so I feel that what this guy has learned, even though I haven't been in his exact situation, is how to talk, how to advocate. And I know, you know, when my younger son got into college and, you know, I attended a training seminar for parents with special needs children, they said the most important tool for success for special needs students in our college is self-advocacy. Because if you don't say what you want, you don't say what you need, you can't get it, and then you fail. And so I feel that self-advocacy is a really important gift that I've received from program. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Anne B. in New Hampshire. And Suzanne T., you're up. And then I'll take some more names after Suzanne.
Good morning. My name is Suzanne T., and I'm in California. Over the past few days, I've only been in program since last Friday. And during the meetings, we had been reading about, of course, the amends and the money amends and criminal offenses and then going to any lengths. And as I think back about, you know, my ninth step that I've done in the past, my very first amends that I made, I could see actually how the steps 1 through 7 prepared me for this. And the sponsor that I had that, you know, walked me through and especially step 5, because I'm, you know, divulging all my deepest, darkest secrets and the, you know, the sky hasn't fallen. My sponsor didn't pass out. And so it kind of prepared me for 8 and 9, because 9 for me was, of course, very scary. And so I sat with her and looked at my amends and decided, both of us, let's just start with the easiest one. And I had written out my amends on 3x5 cards so that, you know, I wouldn't. It was my first amends, too, so I wanted to make sure that I didn't go off on a tangent. And she always said, don't say the word, yeah, but, or the words, yeah, but, or anything like that, so that I wouldn't go into anything they did, right? So anyway, so my first amends was I had stolen a bottle of children's Tylenol from a drugstore place. I don't know if they're throughout the country, but this particular one also sold the cold stuff. I don't know if on these meetings we can mention specific stuff, so I'm just going to say the cold stuff, and you guys will know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I walk in. I have my 3x5 card. I walk in, and, of course, my heart is pounding, but I remember my sponsor saying, just make sure you ask God to be with you, you know? And so he was, even though I didn't feel it at the time. So I walk up and ask for the manager. I had an envelope with some money in it, and of course it was whatever it was worth that Children's Tylenol was worth then, plus some inflation. So anyways, I walk up and ask for the manager. The manager comes to me, and I say, read my card. I'm in a 12-step program, and part of my recovery is to make amends for wrongs I have done. And well, X many years ago, I stole a bottle of Children's Tylenol from you guys. And he looked at me like he was looking like I had a third eye in my head. And he says, hold on, wait a minute. And he walked back in the back. And I thought, of course, my head went to, oh, he's calling the police. I'm going to go to jail, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, he comes back and he has a coupon book. And he hands it to me and he says, you know, I've never had anybody do this before. I want you to have this. And this is God's sense of humor, in my opinion, it was a coupon book for the cold stuff. So I just looked at him and I said, no, I can't take this. It kind of negates what I'm doing here. And he insisted, he kept insisting and insisting. So I took it and walked out, you know, grateful that I wasn't going to jail over a bottle of Tylenol. And I walk out and the whole time I'm battling with myself. I can't take this. So I walk out of the store and over to the side was a guy working on a car and a little girl sitting on the step and just bored. So I walked over to her and I gave her that coupon book and I walked away. And I tell you what, I was on cloud nine. You couldn't touch me. And so that's why I continued with the rest of my amends. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Sue Ann T. in California. Okay, we're on page 79, the second paragraph, usually however other people are involved. If you hadn't shared Monday or Tuesday, I'd love to hear you share, and I'm ready for your name. Anyone have any experience they'd like to share on this paragraph? Step nine, making a difficult amends.
This is Ann M. in Phoenix.
Ann M. in Phoenix.
Carol F.
Is that Carol? F is in Frank, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. No more burning desires. I'll take Ann M. and Carol F. So go ahead, please, Ann M.
Ann M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. Sunny Phoenix, Arizona. So, I've sponsored a lot of people, and I've always felt like this was a very sponsor-heavy step. And I've been sponsored through my own ninth step amends. And one of the things that I do and have had done to me is I offer a script so that people can stay right on task. And it is a nervousing thing. It's a very different thing that we do. Most people don't do. So, you know, it's an unknown and it's kind of scary. So I offer a script. I always practice and rehearse. And I do use 3x5 cards. But in my own head, I don't, you know, I'm full of feelings about this. A sponsor can take a real objective view and say, no, we're not going to say that. We're going to say this. So it's really important not to try to walk this alone. I've had to make hard amends. My father did a lot more to me than I ever did to him, and he owed me a lot bigger amends than I ever owed him. However, when I could go to him in a forgiving spirit and understand that he's just doing the best he can, I don't need to withhold my love and my care from him because he's a human being. And I've done the same thing. So it's a very, very humbling and freeing step, and I do encourage everybody. I've never, ever had a bad ninth step experience. I do have a daughter that won't accept my ninth step amends and chooses not to speak to me, and that's just how it is. It is how it is, and that's the reality. That's on her, though, not me, because I'm willing. I'm totally willing. But she's not. And I respect that because she is another person involved. So it is a good step. I just encourage everybody to talk with their sponsors. Don't do it alone. Please rehearse. Have a little script if you want to. That helped me a lot, because I stayed on task. Thank you, everybody, for allowing me to share. And thank you, everybody, for the service that makes these meetings happen, because they're very important to me. God bless you all, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Ann M. in Arizona. Thank you. And Carol F., go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Carol F. in Oregon, compulsive overeater in recovery. And my experience with Step 9 has really been quite enlightening. What happened for me recently, I've been in 12-step programs of various sorts for over 30 years, and I have made amends to various people, and it's given me some relief. But recently in OA, I was doing the steps again, and I am doing the steps again, and came up to Step 9 and just put on the brakes. I could not go forward with it, and I didn't know why. I really wanted to. The amends that I had to make were people that I wanted to make amends to. It's not like I was holding on to, you know, not liking these people or thinking that they were wrong or whatever. I just couldn't do it. And this went on for years. This has gone on for years. So this year, actually, I realized there's something blocking me. And I actually went to a counselor and started talking about what I needed to do. And this person just heard and was able to hear my need. And what came out was a very deep, deep-seated, long-term resentment toward my mother that I had thought I had dealt with. My mother's already deceased, and I thought I had laid all those resentments to rest, but I hadn't. And because of what she did to me 70 years ago, I was unable to forgive something that was done to me much more recently. So in this case, I just had to dig deeper and find the underlying pain that I had never really dealt with. And then I was able to make amends to this one person that I was unwilling to. And out after that, all the other amends started becoming much easier, and I started just really wanting to do it, and the block was removed. So I just wanted to share that, because it was such a big change and leap, and I'm feeling the relief. And I'm also feeling like the more I uncover, the more I realize how much of my life has been about self-centered selfishness. And I think that's what the message in this particular story is about, is that if this guy goes to the judge and says, oh, yeah, I did this bad thing, everything, people were going to suffer. And that he needed to try to find a way to really be of service to God's will and not to his own will and his own satisfaction. And out of that came blessings for all concerned. So that's an important lesson. Thank you. I think that's a really important lesson for all of us, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for all the service on the line. I pass.
Thank you, Carol F. in Oregon. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared. I know Step 9 is not easy, and it's not easy to share about, so I really appreciate all your courage and experience and strength on this step. And we are going to now close this meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Penny L.C., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.